Hey, this is Christine Niffen, and thank you for tuning in to Relationships 101 right here on KMOX Radio, because relating isn't always easy. Hey, welcome back to you. Welcome back to me. There's been a lot of preempting going on with some different sporting events and things, so I've had a number of interruptions here on Relationships 101, so thanks very much for staying tuned in and tuning back in this evening. Listen, always a topic dealing with relationships, relating, and various things. Tonight is no exception. We are going to be talking about the topic of emotional infidelity. We'll be doing that a little bit later, as usual. During the first hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Ronald T. Potter Efron, MSW PhD, about a book he co-authored called The Emotional Affair, How to Recognize Emotional Infidelity and What to Do About It. Also want to be sure and pull your attention to the relationship advice page that I do on the KMOX blog page, article Obtaining Your Big Life. You know, it's New Year's. Everybody sets these resolutions. This is all about obtaining your big life and how to get out of your own way, because I think that's what we all tend to do. Just to inform you, I will be off next week due to the Super Bowl, yes, but back in full force coming up the next week. Going to be talking to Catherine R. Simpson about her book, The MS Solution. Very interesting thing and very interesting topic. So let's get right to it a little bit. Even without the complication of sexual infidelity, affairs of the heart can damage the stability and intimacy of a relationship. In The Emotional Affair, noted psychologists Ronald Potter Efron and Patricia Potter Efron offer readers advice on recognizing, addressing, and preventing these common relationship crises. Friendships with members of the opposite sex are very healthy and normal, but how do you know when your partner has crossed the fine line separating platonic intimacy and emotional infidelity? This book helps you to evaluate your relationship to determine whether or not your partner is having an emotional affair, explains possible roots of the problem, offers suggestions for discussing the issue with your partner and repairing the relationship, and provides tools for recovering from the breach of trust, and intimacy caused by the affair. Ronald T. Potter Efron, MSW PhD, is a psychotherapist in private practice in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, who specializes in anger management, mental health counseling, and the treatment of addictions, and he co-authored this book with Patricia S. Potter Efron as well. Ronald, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invitation.
Certainly. Listen, and what would you like to be called?
Ron.
Ron. Okay, there you have it. So, Ron, let me get right to some of my questions off the bat. I'm a therapist too, psychotherapist in private practice, so we kind of throw around emotional infidelity and intimacy problems and all these different things, you know, around a lot. But just for the sake of people out there listening, kind of explain exactly what you mean when you say emotional infidelity, because, you know, let's face it, I think there's always going to be a segment of the population that sort of kind of continue, you know, to defend the idea that if it's not physically cheating, then really nothing's going on.
Yes. People kind of, their partner will say, I don't like what's happening here. You're spending so much time with this other person. And the accused person just kind of looks innocent, bats their eyes, and says, I don't know what you're talking about. We're not sexual. We're not having anything like that. So how can you accuse me of doing anything wrong? And that fuzzy area, not sexual, but there is something wrong, is the theme for the emotional affair. I define an emotional affair, or Pat and I in our book define an emotional affair as an intense, primarily emotional and non-sexual relationship that has the effect of diminishing that person's emotional connection with their partner for whom they're supposed to have a commitment.
Yes, because that energy, that type of energy, you know, intimate energy, emotional energy, is being put into somebody outside the relationship.
Yes, it's like I liken it to having a thief in your house, and that thief sneaks into your most private areas and in rooms and takes away all the emotional stuff that is really important in the relationship, and that thief is one of the two partners in the room, and he or she ends up giving that to a third party, and so not only is the one relationship increased, but the other one is diminished.
That's absolutely true. Now, let me ask another question. Without, you know, running the risk of sounding too stereotypical, I mean, help me out here. I'm curious. I always like to learn on these shows from people who become experts in their different fields. I mean, we can only know what we can know. And so I want to know, you know, is it stereotypical to ask whether or not you noted maybe major differences between men and women in their, I don't know, willingness to initially accept the idea that people can have emotional infidelity? Was there really not a lot of difference? Is that a stereotype to think there's
a
difference?
Yeah, I think it's more of a stereotype, actually.
That's why I ask.
John Gottman, the great marital researcher, says that 70% of the satisfaction for both genders comes from the quality of friendship in the marriage or the committed relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's what emotional affairs damage is, the quality of friendship. Both men and women equally desire friendship, and in American society in particular, with our minimal interest in community and family and friendships, we put so much emphasis on the relationship, the committed relationship. We expect, many of us at least, expect our partner to be our best friend, mm-hmm. and the person that we share everything with, and the person we go to first and last with our emotional pain. And when that doesn't happen, when somebody starts going elsewhere instead of to your partner, then the person who is being left out, neglected, feels cheated, betrayed, and hurt, whether that's a man or a woman.
Well, absolutely. And I think that was a very interesting thing that you, what was it you just said a second ago, a very interesting thing about...
Now you're asking me to say, to know what I said?
Well, yeah, let me think. Because the communal type behavior is missing so much more, that it's putting so much more expectation on the relationship.
Yeah,
I thought, because one of my favorite things I say when I work with different clients in a special thing I have called relationship coaching, where I go over their patterns and their expectations and their family's relationship and all that, I always think unmet expectations create so many of the problems. And that's an interesting way of describing expectations.
I think in American society we have very high expectations for our immediate relationship and very low expectations for everything else.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely
true.
We're
not a communal society, and who has time for friends anymore? Who has time for anything? So we put all our eggs into the basket of the marriage or the committed relationship, and that makes the stakes really high when that starts falling apart.
Okay. Hey, listen, we're speaking with Ron Potter Efron, author, a co-author of The Emotional Affair, How to Recognize Emotional Infidelity and What to Do About It. We'll be back with him after the break. You're listening to Relationships 101 on KMOX, The Voice of St. Louis.
Now, back to Relationships 101 with Christine Niffen on KMOX.
Hey, for those of you just joining us, we are talking with Dr. Ronald T. Potter Efron, MSW PhD. He's a co-author of The Emotional Affair, How to Recognize Emotional Infidelity and What to Do About It. Ron, let me ask you this question. You know, one of the things we talked about, what an emotional affair was a minute ago. One of the things I found of particular interest, and if I interpreted it correctly, in your book is the fact that you include, I think you called it the emotional affair questionnaire. And it seems to be its purpose is to sort of help you determine if you're having an emotional affair. I mean,
yeah.
I guess what's going on? I mean, do people not, you know, I know it's not one thing or the other, it's many things, but I mean, do you find a segment of people, what, you know, they don't know they're having affairs, others do, and they want to push it to the back of their mind and be in denial? I mean, what's allowing so much of this to go on in people's lives?
Well, there's actually two questionnaires in the book, one for the person who might be having an emotional affair and one for the partner of somebody who might be having an emotional affair.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's denial and minimization. People, I mean, who wants to say, gee, I'm doing something that's damaging my partner, damaging the us in our relationship? I'm taking away something really good and giving it to somebody else. So people don't wake up in the morning and say, how can I hurt my partner
right
that way? They gravitate accidentally into these relationships, usually. I believe that there is something, often there's something missing that the person wishes they could have more of in their primary committed relationship. Maybe more emotional connection or more praise or more attention or acceptance, more excitement or action. And somehow they give up or on getting that from their partner, and they go looking for it elsewhere. And when they do that, they might stumble across somebody. It might be over the internet or a coworker or just an acquaintance. And now it's eureka! My problem has been solved. I can get this desire met by somebody other than my partner. And of course, the damage is that then you quit trying. You no longer say to your partner, I really would like to work on our mutual understanding of each other, because now I have found somebody who understands me perfectly.
Well, and isn't it almost, I think we've alluded to this on a couple previous shows, isn't it almost a false sense of intimacy, because you really wouldn't almost be sharing at that level with someone you were dating quite yet? Do you know what I mean? Isn't it almost a false sense of intimacy that's created, overly heightened?
Instant intensity.
Yes, there you go.
It's very easy to mistake intensity for real intimacy, and people get that sense of being totally engulfed and engrossed, almost like courtship again, without the sexual element, or at least with the sexual element hidden in the background. So you're comparing apples and oranges, and inevitably this person that you've just developed your emotional affair with comes out looking better than your partner.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the things, I mean, it's a give and take relationships. And if you decide to be in a long-term committed relationship, you know, you have to give up that thing where you meet that person for the first time and all that goes like that again.
Right. You get something much better in the slowly developing true deep sense of sharing and intimacy. But marriages or committed relationships, they're kind of grow or die things. And either you're developing and continuing to get warmer and closer to your partner, or it stagnates, and then that sets up the opportunity for an emotional affair.
Absolutely. So listen, you say, Ron, that emotional affairs share three characteristics. If somebody's having an emotional affair, they're having emotional intimacy with somebody, secrecy and deception's going on, and there's sexual chemistry. So you say that emotional affairs share three characteristics.
I want to back away a little from that. That was in our publicist sent that out originally, and I called her up and said, tone down the sexual chemistry part of it, because there may or may not be sexual chemistry between the two people. Sometimes there is, and yet they say, boy, that would ruin everything. I don't want to get involved erotically with this person, because what I'm getting is even more important. Sometimes there's no sexual chemistry at all.
Right. Well, and these are, and the one I really wanted to talk, that's very good to note, absolutely. And I want to take a minute to talk about that second characteristic, the secrecy and deception. You know, I am sort of, I am unapologetic about the fact that I firmly believe that lying by omission is still lying. And let me tell you, you know, you're going to have a much happier relationship if you date somebody who, you know, feels fairly similar to you along sort of that continuum. That lying by, that secrecy and deception is just, because this is a thing I run into a lot of times. I do a lot of couples counseling and a lot of marriage counseling. And there's, you know, those things I run into when people have different boundaries of it's okay to act X, Y, and Z way in a relationship. And then it's not okay if you're in one, it's okay if you're not in one. Well, when people seem to be pretty different on that, defining that, if they're pretty far apart, they just seem to have real issues.
Yes, you're right. But let me take a moment to distinguishing secrecy and privacy. If I'm having a private conversation with a very good friend, and I'm pouring my heart out about problems I'm having with my wife, I hope at the end of that private conversation, my partner or my good friend will say, "Now, Ron, you really have to go and talk to Pat about this. This is really important stuff. I know you're hurting. I know you're unsatisfied, but I can help you. I can listen, but go home and talk this over with your wife." That's privacy. On the other hand, in an emotional affair, you have secrecy. And at the end of the conversation, I look at her, she looks at me, and we both agree, even without saying it, we're not going to talk about what we just talked about here. And I'm certainly not going to go back to my wife and talk talked to her about it, I just believe all the more now that this woman really understands me.
Right.
And my wife never would. So there's a big difference between privacy and secrecy.
Yes, that's an excellent point.
Which is the difference between a good friend and an emotional affair.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're talking with Ron T. Potter, MSW PhD, co-author of The Emotional Affair, How to Recognize Emotional Infidelity and What to Do About It. You're listening to Relationships 101 on KMOX, The Voice of St. Louis.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffin on KMOX.
All right. We're talking emotional affairs for those of you who have been listening. Also, just remember for everybody's used to the show, the first hour we discuss with the author something relevant to Relationships 101. I think the emotional affair pretty much hits that category. And of course, in the second hour, we open up the lines for your thoughts, your comments, and any questions you have pertaining to relationships. So getting back to Dr. Ronald T. Potter Efron, co-author of The Emotional Affair. Ronald, question for you. Let the audience know, not to get everybody out there suspecting their partners, but, you know, kind of let the audience know if they're suspecting this could be going on, what kind of signs might they be looking for if they suspect their partners are having emotional affairs, or what kind of, you know, can you give them to give them validation for their bad feelings?
Well, what I advise my clients and when they ask me about this is to be careful. Don't just approach your partner with some fuzzy, vague idea that something doesn't seem right. You need to gather specific information, such as I might be saying to my partner, you know, three times in the last week, you went upstairs, got on the computer, spent 2 hours to 3 hours up there, and when I came up, like, to give you a cup of coffee or something, you clicked off so I wouldn't see who you were talking to. And that's just not right, and you used to come down after supper, and we would have some time together to talk and spend some time with the kids, and now that's just not happening. So you have to be able to have real clear communication about what is happening and what isn't happening.
And noting, too, to take the defensiveness down on the other person, say, look, I'm not here to accuse you of anything, but I'm noticing a few things out of pattern.
That's right. Yeah, you have to come on gentle and not just attack for the sake of attacking. In our book, we have all kinds of cautions about before you even take the questionnaire to see if your partner might be having an affair. You have to ask yourself, am I looking for things? Am I mad at this partner and I just want to find things to attack him or her with? So you have to be very cautious, but usually evidence accumulates over time. And if you're looking for it, you're going to see what's really going on. And the other thing you can start doing is offering real positive invitations to your partner to have a serious talk, to do the kind of things that the two of you have done in the past. And if your partner seems disinterested and doesn't say, yeah, boy, that's great, but it says instead says, well, I'd like to do that, but you know what, I have a lunch meeting with Harriet and I gotta go and see her, and I'm very reluctant to give that up, then you know you got some trouble.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So listen, in the book, you talk about the 5 A's. You sum it up nicely. These are things you say that you think people need from their partners to sort of feel connected and validated. Attention, appreciation, acceptance, admiration, and affirmation. I'm going to tell you right now, I want and desire and probably crave every single one of those. I've always said the difference is I don't have any problem admitting it and I don't have to act out to get it.
No, the attention is I'll take time for you. Appreciation, I like what you do. Acceptance is okay for you to be who you are.
Which is
admiration
big.
Is I can learn from you, and affirmation is I admire you. I think I celebrate your existence. That's the most important, to affirm your partner.
Absolutely, and on the same page where you first mentioned that I see, you say, and I quote, and I thought this was just very well said and nicely put. Human beings are interactive by nature. We need for others, especially our committed partners, to notice us. That cup of coffee in the morning. morning, that gentle welcome home hug after work, and a good night before turning off the lights confirm that you and your partner are important to each other. Just receiving those small acknowledgments helps us feel connected to the universe. Take them away, and most people feel lonely and deprived. That may be when they start thinking about finding someone else with whom they could feel this bond.
Yes, absolutely. If you're in a state of loneliness, the kind of the old, remember that book, Lonely in a Crowd,
yes.
long ago. Now this is lonely in a couple, where you just feel like your partner is no longer your best friend, no longer someone you can count on and go to. It's like your partner has become a stranger to you.
And well, wanting something from someone who can't at a certain point give it to you is possibly one of the loneliest things there is.
Yes. Right. And especially if you really want that. Now, every individual, every couple is different, and not all couples want emotional understanding and connection and closeness. They're not going to worry too much about emotional affairs. But for the kind of people like you and me,
yes.
where emotional connection is really important,
yes.
then the loss of that it really creates a grieving situation in which I might get very angry, hurt, upset. And then I start doing things that are not very nice and not very sensible. And sadly enough, I might that just might trigger my partner to withdraw even more.
Well, yeah, because and so much is in the communication. I mean, that you can't feel that, you know, when somebody you love tells you you're crazy for feeling the way you feel, then, of course, the acceptance isn't there and, you know, and all those things. And that causes so much difficulty. In the books, and people sometimes, you know, I noticed in there that you also worked with anger management, or you specialized
yeah.
in that. And, you know, I find in working with couples that a lot of times couples are kind of upset with each other because they're not connected.
Yes, so the anger, I mean, why do people come to couples counseling? Rarely do they come without any emotion or any feelings. Maybe one of them doesn't have any feelings, but somebody is angry, somebody's upset and saying this is wrong, and they're protesting, which is good that they're protesting, but then there has to be a direction that you can go. And the direction in terms of the emotional affair is that the person having the emotional affair needs to stop it, needs to cut it off, and then the two of you need to really sit down and rekindle your friendship, rekindle the relationship, so that the two of you both are more satisfied. I mean, the goal is to end up not only get through this and survive it, but get through it and have a stronger relationship than you ever had before.
Okay, so have you dealt with a fair amount of clients who've come in and emotional infidelity has happened?
Yes, I have, and it's not always named. It's often, I mean, we're just getting to the point in American society where there's a name for this that
sure.
is recognized on a fairly frequent basis. So over the years, a lot more people have come in and said, I just don't know what's going on. My husband says I'm a jealous fool. And then they describe this. I just got an email the other day from somebody who had read the book and said that they just realized that their parents had been in an emotional affair, or one of her parents, her father had been in an emotional affair for decades, and she had never had a name for it, but she just felt that it was wrong, and now at last she had a name for it. Now, that doesn't mean she's going to have any power to change it, but at least it now has a name.
No, but if it has a name, at least it can be explained to someone else, and maybe your version won't get through, but maybe someone else's down the road will.
Yes, that's right.
You know, you always have to hope for that. Okay, well, listen, we're going to take a final break here this hour, and when we come back, we're going to finish up with Ronald T. Potter Efron. You're listening to Relationships 101 on KMOX, The Voice of St. Louis.
Now, back to Relationships 101 with Christine Niffen on KMOX.
Hey, we're finishing up here with our talk on the emotional affair, how to recognize emotional infidelity and what to do about it. Ron, let's talk a second about sort of rates of recovery. Now, I have had people in my office where, you know, actual physical affairs have taken place, physical intimacy. And I'll be honest with you that while I know a few relationships that do survive that would tend to be a little more rare and have a lot to do with how honest everybody was going to get and repairing it and all that kind of thing and rebuilding the trust. What do you find about sort of the rate of recovery of people who've had emotional affairs?
Well, if the if we can break through the denial and the minimization, and so the person who's having the affair can actually look and say, yes, by golly, I am doing this, then I think the rate goes up pretty high. It's easier to break through than, say, alcoholism or sex addiction. But it's not easy, because people are defended against acknowledging that they've harmed someone. But if they have guilt about it, that's a good sign. Because when you feel guilty, then you try to make reparations and find out what went wrong. If the person has too much shame and they just withdraw in the face of it, then of course the likelihood of recovery is worse.
Absolutely. And how often do you get the highly resistant client? And let's say it's a gentleman who's having an emotional affair.
I'll get them for about one session or two sessions, and then after that I'll end up doing individual counseling with their partner. Sometimes because their partner is not willing to accept being in this second-rate subordinate position. And sometimes then that person will say, almost like in a sexual affair, look, this is not going to keep going. I don't care whether you like it or not, or whether you actually will say, I'm having an emotional affair.
Right.
You're going to have to make a choice, either me or her.
Absolutely. So listen, what we've covered here real quick, we've talked a little bit about what an emotional affair is, maybe how they get going. You talked a little bit how you sort of bring up the topic. Maybe you notice the things out of pattern that he or she is doing differently. You talk about rebuilding the trust. You know, I always say that when somebody commits an infidelity, and whether it would be an emotional infidelity or a physical infidelity, I always believe that that person has the obligation to sort of go above and beyond to sort of regain the trust, in my opinion. What are some of the types of things, and they may be obvious or not, what are some of the types of tangible things people do in working to rebuild the trust? Sure.
The small little things are really important. A phone call in the middle of the day, hi, I was thinking about you, that shows that I want to give you attention and not this other person. Reassurance is necessary at the beginning that I am choosing my committed partner and I'm not going back to the other person. Sometimes you have to deal with the sneaky kinds of situations where the person says they completely cut off the emotional affair, but they still aren't doing it. But getting back to regaining the trust, I think that the main thing is you got to start sharing your feelings with your partner and be very open to your partner sharing his or her feelings with you.
Yeah, and what you find, too, is, you know, you get people in, you know, various stages, but some not doing very well at talking to each other at all, and it's part of why they got into this problem in the first place, don't you think?
Yes, right. And so some couples aren't great at sharing feelings, but you can always get better at it. And if the person who has had the emotional affair is the kind of person who says, I usually have trouble sharing my feelings, but with this one person I figured I could do it, then what I want to find out is what made that person so special and different, but I want to use that as proof to the person that they can share their feelings, and that what they thought was a deficit on their part turns out not to be so. So you can, again, get the person to take what they learned in the emotional affair about what they need and who they are and how they can share feelings and bring it to their partner.
Right. That's one of the biggest things I find, that often people have never actually said the words to each other, let's talk about what we need. Because I found that unhappiness in relationships almost always and invariably equates to unmet needs.
Yes, I think you're right that the people want more freedom, they want more acceptance, they want more compassion.
Or they're giving to you in a way they really need you to give back to them, and so each person's not really feeling they're getting their needs met because
right.
somebody's giving to you in the way they want you to give to them. You see that type of thing a lot.
Right, the lack of reciprocity, the sense that I'm giving you a lot more than you're returning to me, that's a very bad sign. When you start adding up, when you start counting, how many gifts have I give you versus how many have you given me, pretty soon you're not accepting the gifts that are offered.
That's absolutely true. Well, listen, Ron, a very good book, The Emotional Affair. Now, is this your wife?
Yes, Patricia.
Patricia S. Potter Efron. How wonderful. Two people in type, virtually the same type of thing. That's great.
Yes, she's awesome too.
If people would like to get a hold of this Emotional Affair, learn more about it. There's a lot of people who've been affected by emotional affairs.
Yeah,
you know, I hope you know that you're in one, but that's all right. That questionnaire's in there too. I'd probably be more in the other questionnaire. But how would people go ahead and get a copy of this book, or do you have a website where they can learn more?
I don't have a website up and running right at the moment. But I would recommend that they dial up Amazon.com because you can see a whole chapter of the book in there.
Okay, sounds great. Ron, thank you very much for being our guest this evening on Relationships 101.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so that's it, The Emotional Affair. That's what we want to discuss this evening. You know how we do it. We've been off a little bit, but we'll get right back into kilter. I know there's not been any ball games on. Get everybody all revved up for calling in, but we want to hear from you, your thoughts, your comments. Are you an emotional affair? Do you know if you're in one? Do you think you're in one and you wonder if you're in one? Have you been on the other end of your partner, spouse, having an emotional affair and it's been an awful thing? Do you think it's going on now? We want to hear from you because everything you say is important. We're also next hour going to be answering your emails. Please continue to send those to relationshipcoach@yahoo.com. Got a good list of those ready to go. They'll go in between your phone calls, but that's what we definitely and absolutely want to make sure that we're doing next hour. We want you to give us a call and talk to us about emotional affairs or anything pertaining to all kinds of topics. And that we're going to take a little news break here in a bit and take all those comments after the hour. Listen, want to say Focus St. Louis is asking you to nominate outstanding individuals and organizations for the 12th annual What's Right with the Region Awards. For a nomination form, visit the community calendar at KMOX.com. Next hour, you know it, we're opening the lines and we want to hear from you. Next hour, we always like that. Of course, toll free, costs you nothing. 1-800-925-1120 and 314-436-7900. We're going to do a little bit of news and we'll be taking your calls at the top of the hour.